Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Reeling from a devastating loss, Tana is pulled back into the world by an unexpected invitation to her cousin's wedding. She packs up her late grandmother's Cadillac and hits the open road driving from her home in Minnesota to South Dakota. After reconnecting with her Oglala Lakota family, Tana sets off to retrace a surreal journey that her grandmother took decades ago, searching for the spot captured in an old family photograph. It's a beautiful film. It's called The Unknown Country, and we're joined today by director Marissa Maltz. Marissa, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed the film. I love the spirit in which the film was made and the process. And there's so much here to talk about in terms of, you know, stepping off that cliff, if you will, into a bit of an unknown in terms of where you're going to end up. And so I just want to talk a little bit about where this idea came from. I know that you have, in your previous work as a documentary filmmaker, Ingrid, kind of comes to mind as something that might have been something that gave you the confidence to do this. But let's talk about where this came from.
My background is as a visual artist. And I made this documentary film, Ingrid, about this outsider artist, which is actually a term I don't love, but an artist that was living out in the woods. I guess that was about 2018. I had done a few short films that were sort of more experimental, maybe narrative-ish. There was a short film that I did called Odessia that was about a woman returning home. And that was in 2013. And after that, I felt that I wanted to tell a story about then a young woman going, you know, out into the world. But I didn't really know what that was, nor did I have like enough sort of life experience to kind of tell a story like that. And so that kind of led me to making Ingrid. I road tripped from, I left California and went out looking for these outsider artists and ended up in Oklahoma, doing a doc in Oklahoma. And then I started living in Texas for a while. My husband is a paleontologist, and so he started working up in South Dakota on these dinosaur digs, and I started road tripping between South Dakota and Texas. And that's sort of what, like, that specific road trip, you know, made me curious to tell a story about a young woman traveling alone. That was kind of like the foundation for those stories, was those, that series of road trips. And then the people I met along the way kind of built the story.
Among the many strengths of the film is that you seem willing and open to the prospect of meeting people along the way in the telling of Tana's story. And it opens it up. And I'm not sure if which came first, the casting of Lily Gladstone or the idea that this was going to be a story that is in the world basically of the native peoples of Lakota. I don't know which came, you know, in terms of how you were going to structure this film or create the film. Was it a chicken and egg kind of thing? And getting Lily Gladstone, who's just absolutely wonderful in the film.
It was a really organic process. I never set out to make a film that had an indigenous actor or had a storyline that engage with those topics. But when I met Lainey Bearkiller in South Dakota, she plays Tana's cousin in The Unknown Country. And it was because of her that it opened up that narrative, because there were a number of people that I met, and Lainey, I was telling her about this idea that I wanted to tell a story about a young woman traveling alone. We met after I got my hair at this cost cutters in South Dakota, and her friend cut my hair. And so Lainey and I became friends over a summer, and she suggested, she was like, well, have you thought about making the main character native? When I was trying to sort of like figure out, oh, it'd be fun to include Lainey's family in some way as I was getting closer with them. And then around the same time that Lainey suggested that, I watched Lily and Certain Women. And so like, I've been trying to figure out who this character was for quite a long time, who this main character was, who would be driving. And I watched Lily and Certain Women and I was like, oh my God, like that's who this is. There isn't anyone else that I would want, you know, to be the main character in this film. So it kind of like clicked, like everything kind of happened around the same time in this way that it showed me what it should be. But before Lily came on, like she came on in 2019, and I guess it was 2017 that we sort of started filming bits and pieces. So we already had these like these vignettes of these non-act or first-time actors or that we showed to Lily, and she ended up coming on after we got officially coming on after we got a grant from the Austin Film Society.
I just want to take a minute to underscore this idea of collaboration and just how important it seems to be to you, which I admire tremendously. And that is that in your previous project, you work with Andrew Hajak and Venera Ting as a cinematographer and editor, respectively. And you've brought them aboard here for your first feature film here with The Unknown Country. And also in the writing credit for this film, you have shared with Lily Gladstone, the actor, as well as now writer, and then Lainey Bearkiller and Venera Ting as well. So this is something that is very important to you, how important it was to bring in these other non-actors into the story, their stories that provide this kind of background, ambiance to the story that's being played out by Tana in her journey to retrace her grandmother's life. It's those elements that make this such a powerful and moving experience.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, the collaboration on these types of projects is really what drives me forward and makes me excited about making them. I love that sense that we're all creating a story together and we're all including various perspectives from everyone that's a part of it. That process really excites me. Yeah, and that's why, you know, we have these multiple story credits and producer credits and all that type of, because for me, my closest collaborators, like, you know, I have been working with Vonner and Andrew for quite a long time. And then, you know, having Lily and Lainey come into this fold, and it really allows stories to become more universal once you're including multiple perspectives within that, instead of it being this sort of more like director driven personal, like The Unknown Country is a very personal story to me. But at the same time, I wanted to create something that was more universal, that people could relate to, that doesn't just feel, and I think bringing in those perspectives and having, yeah, Vonner and Andrew and Lily and Lainey, and even, you know, and Dale and the gas station attendant, Pam, the waitress, the motel owner, like having all of them, you know, have a say in how, even if it's just how their story is shown, sort of create that was a very important. That's what I loved about making the film. And I'm glad to hear that comes across as something that, an aspect of it that you feel and enjoy.
Well, in some ways, it makes it more cinematic in the sense of the story, in service to the story, but also makes it something that breaks that fourth wall, if you will, some, you know, some version of where you're all of a sudden you're aware, the collaboration in the best way of this. And these people become more real. They become more. It for me enriches the idea of what art is. Speaking of, you know, Richard Ray Whitman, who I thought was one of the, I loved his part of the film, the part he's in.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he is. He's amazing. He seems like such a present actor, performer in this film.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah. It really came across that way. I just, before we get any further, I want to remind people that we're talking about the film The Unknown Country. It's being released through Music Box Films, so you can look for it there. But also, it's coming out here in Los Angeles as we speak. You'll be able to see it at the New Art Theater. So it's beginning on July 28th, and will be rolling out across the country. And tellingly, it is going to be playing in a lot of states that it feels like you drove through. This film.
yeah, that's the you know, I think, you know, we just did a premiere and opening in Spearfish, South Dakota, before we came to New York, where I'm here right now for the release, and it is incredibly special to show the film to communities that sort of are in those areas where we shot the film, because it resonated with them. We sold it. There were two sold out theaters in one night for the Spearfish opening, and the community, and that's Spearfish South Dakota, and the community really related to it. And yeah, having the film play in those areas and also introducing independent art films that are actually very relatable to to people, I think is important. And we were amazed that with the response that we got. So I'm excited for the film to continue being shown in those areas.
And Lily Gladstone's performance is wonderful. I love another thing, and we're running out of time here, so I want to quickly get to this, and that is the subtlety in which these elements are introduced into the story. There's nothing in the film that is like, oh, look at this in a flashing red lights. This is what you're supposed to pay attention to. It's all very organic. I love road pictures. I love it when they're well done. And I love this idea, this sort of cinema of the blending of the documentary and the narrative film together in a way that is, like I said, in service to the story. So my congratulations on so many levels here. You know, there's you've heard a lot of people talk about, well, this is like this and this is like that. There was a film that kept popping into my mind, and I don't know if it's exactly in the way that you made this, but Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, the Bill Ross and Turner Ross film, where there is this elements of kind of what this film is. Is that a good reference for anyone, or is there another reference that maybe?
To be honest, yeah, I have heard that as a reference quite a few times, and I actually should watch it. I feel terrible. My reference is, I just haven't watched a lot of contemporary films, which is something that I should. I've mostly watched like Criterion films from the 70s and 80s and 90s. The reference is, you know, this type of film also is not.
Yeah.
People, you know, they're like, oh, you know, this is different. And this is like, but people have been making these types of films for a very long time, you know? So like, I watch a lot of, you know, Kiarostami films, or Kiarostami, Agnes Varda, like those artists and filmmakers, you know, were sort of like my tipping off point of how to make these, you know, with like, and there's a lot of non-actors, real stories. Yeah. And, but there are a lot of, you know, this isn't a one of a kind sort of way to make a film. Like, it has been done well a lot of times.
Well, I'm a big Robert Altman fan, and he was one of the first to kind of introduce this element of the way that this the mixtures. Enough art art and cinema history here. I just want to once again say thank you so very much for the film. And again, I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with the writer, director, producer of the film The Unknown Country. That would be Marissa Maltz. Marissa, thank you so very much for your time, and all the best moving forward. Hope to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.